Welcome to DIY Eco Guy. I'm your host, Chris Graber. I'm an engineer, a nature lover, and I'm concerned about climate change. This podcast is about simple DIY sustainability solutions you can implement in your home and community. I do the research and tackle projects at my house and share what I've learned with you. So let's have fun while making an impact on our world, one action at a time.
Welcome to episode 8, all about rainwater harvesting, which is the use of rain for things like watering plants and trees in your yard and things called quote-unquote rain gardens, instead of just letting that water run off. Sometimes the best things in life are free. So a little summary, we're going to go into some background, what is rainwater harvesting. We're going to talk about my personal yard and what's going on in my city, how things are getting implemented, how rain is being used more effectively. We'll just talk about how it works, how much rain actually falls on your roof and your property that you could use. Free water, right? What are the benefits? What are the different kinds of systems, like active versus passive rainwater systems? Talk about some resources and things like that. So you can also see my blog at DIYEcoGuy.com for more links and videos, pictures of rainwater harvesting being implemented in my yard. So what is this? Why should you learn more about it? Do you think much about when you turn on the faucet, where is that water coming from? Or do you know how much water is being used for your landscape irrigation? Do you know what your water bill looks like? Is it high? Do you know the quality of your water, how it's treated, where it comes from, like how far away is it from a reservoir somewhere or what? Do you know much about the technology and the costs that go into making your city's water supply clean and getting it to your home? You know, a lot of different background questions here, but just some things to think about. Those are things I've thought a lot about, especially after doing some tours that a local nonprofit had here in Tucson, where people's homes had just, like their yards had been totally transformed using these techniques that have kind of been mastered here, or remastered since the very old techniques. So, yeah, they're different options for what water you can use. You might not know much about it or think much about it, but rainwater harvesting, it's actually an ancient practice. It's very inexpensive often. It's very effective. Yeah, it's been used around the world for a long, long time. Its brilliance is in its simplicity. Nature and gravity basically do all the work. So it's well known in places here, like in the desert in Tucson where I live, but people often don't realize it can be very helpful in a lot of different regions. So areas with heavy rainfall and flooding, etc., they might benefit as well, because rainwater on a property can be set up so that it gradually infiltrates into the soil on that property and replenishes groundwater stores far below, versus just becoming runoff and like overwhelming our man-made drainage systems in our towns. Also, you might have heard of xeriscape, drip irrigation, things like that, ways to use less water, but rainwater harvesting sort of takes things one step further. When you pair the rainwater harvesting with native plants and trees that are suitable for your area, it can be really efficient and really beautiful. For example, in my yard, we're growing a fig tree, and we have what's called the pollinator gardens. We get lots of bees and other fun creatures checking out our yard. It's really fun. So in my yard, yeah, as I mentioned, I saw some other projects around town. There are, you know, residential lots that people have transformed with some help. And there are also lots of, you know, city lots and commercial lots and stuff that are using this as well. one of the main things I want to emphasize is it turns out rainwater is often very pure and the plants just love it versus city water. Like our city water is not necessarily the greatest. It's very hard. Kind of seems like it takes a lot of it, at least in my yard, to keep the plants happy. But you compare that to how they look after a rain event, and you can just see it. The plants just instantly transform and look really, really happy with rainwater. So, yeah, I mentioned the local nonprofit here. It's called Watershed Management Group. They're experts in this, and they do courses, certifications. I actually took a course and got a little bit of a rebate from Tucson for doing my project. So it's pretty cool. You can just kind of learn on your own. There's some good books and stuff, but I really do suggest if there's a course you could take or, yeah, more learning to do in your area, or contact Watershed Management Group and ask them for some more ideas or resources. They're a really great group of people. So they ended up creating a plan for our yard, basically like a landscape plan. And so they decided, okay, what water is going to come from what parts of our roof and lead to what parts of our yard, and how are we going to use that water in the yard? Where will it flow and collect in different basins or depressions dug in the yard? Where will it overflow to and things like that? So a major feature of our design is it has a pollinator garden section. So that's really cool. Like I mentioned, it draws bees, birds, and other pollinators, and it's really cute. Our dog likes to walk around and smell everything in that area, so that's fun to watch as well. So over time, I implemented and interpreted the plan and applied it, mostly just using a $10 shovel from Lowe's and just a lot of digging and a lot of work. And it's actually a lot of fun to transform the yard. It used to just be all rock, totally boring, just a few plants and really hot, just kind of desolate looking. And now it's getting prettier and prettier as all the native plants are getting established and trees are popping up, and it's doing well. It's fun to watch the transformation. It looks much more beautiful. So I also read Brad Lancaster's books. You should check them out. You should see his site, harvestingrainwater.com. He's from Tucson. He has just so much thoughtful work here. His work's really comprehensive. It integrates permaculture themes. Just please take a look. Check out his neighborhood. It's called the Dunbar Spring neighborhood here in Tucson. That's definitely worth a visit. Or I have a Google Street View link on my article on DIYEcoGuy.com if you want to just see what are all these trees and stuff looking like. Look at all this shade in this neighborhood. This is cool. So on the streets and around that neighborhood, they've helped, you know, implement a lot of these techniques, and they have little educational guides as you walk around. It's all these nice shady paths. He also has neighborhoodforesters.org, which you could check out. So that's kind of working with the larger community in Tucson, and helping train. He calls them citizen foresters. So like, and he calls it planting the rain and tending the rain. So rain comes in and you can divert it and use it, quote unquote, plant it. And then you can grow trees and shade and food forests, etc. So it's pretty neat what's going on here. And like I mentioned, if you wanted to, especially if you live in Tucson, and you wanted to have some consultation done, check out Watershed Management Group. They also, you know, have the classes I was taking, talked about, including gray water, which I'll also go into. I also want to mention, if just anywhere you might live, there's a Facebook group, Tucson Water Harvesters Facebook group. It's a really helpful community. So no matter where you are, if you had some questions or you wanted to see how things are getting implemented, go on there. Lots of really cool people. Lots of great information to read about there. I actually had one of their folks come out to my yard after I had implemented a bunch of the basics, just to kind of review and suggest, oh, you could do this a little differently or add this to that over there and things like that. Super, super helpful. Just a lot of knowledge there. Some of these people have implemented projects in, you know, just many, many yards throughout our region. So there's a lot to learn from, you know. These guys are the experts. So another part here is just, it's really fun. So I feel like a little kid. Every time the rain is coming, I see in the forecast, oh my gosh, I get to look out of my yard and see just how much rain is coming off of our roof and into our different basins. I can make adjustments. You know, you do have to do a little bit of upkeep. Like a lot of the basins will have mulch in them and you need to add more through time and things like that. But mostly these systems take care of themselves just because they're so simple. At least these simple, just digging some basins or depressions in your yard and letting the water come to them. Gravity does almost all the work. So, yeah, so just what does my yard look like? Basically, we figured out, okay, there are these different parts of the roof that have varying amounts of rain throughout the year that are hitting them, and we have some gutters with downspouts and like pipes bringing water to different parts of our yard. And so the main part of the system in the backyard, we have a portion of our roof and our patio cover that feed an initial basin when it rains, and then we have it set up so it can overflow into a second and a third and even a fourth basin. Those are covering basically a large part of our backyard, so it's really cool to watch that. Now we have other portions of our roof that feed to other areas on our side and front yards in much the same way. We have a storage shed out back. That roof has water that then gets diverted to a northern part of our yard. So that's kind of what it looks like in my yard. But think about your property if you own a home. Just how large are your roof surfaces? How much does it rain in your area? Where could water be used for free in your yard to make the plants happy? And if you're in an apartment, you might want to talk to management about this topic or talk to your city because it might actually save apartment complexes money because landscaping takes a lot of water. Kind of more on that later here coming up. But this is something that can be implemented on almost any property anywhere, really. So part of this is just, it's a different paradigm. It's thinking differently. As humans, we're really smart. We're really high tech. We often do things for short-term gain. This is sort of flipping the script. So this concept of rainwater harvesting just really makes sense to me. And of course, your city, your exact situation will differ. But for example, Tucson has a residential guide document. It shows that for landscaping, for water used in yards, on average here for a residential home, it's about 45% of a home's water it gets used for landscaping. I mean, that is a lot. So imagine if you could drastically cut down on that number just by using the rain that falls on your property, like I have. So yeah, just on average here in Tucson, I have a little graph here. Outdoors is 45%. Toilet, 14%. Washing machine, 13%. Faucets, 10%. Shower, about 10%. And then there's some other leaks and different things like that. So a huge majority of the water is used for landscaping. And for that washer's number, which is 13%, there's gray water, which I also implemented. So that kind of takes away that. Basically, all of our washing machine water goes out to the outdoors. So that when combined with using rain off the roof, the amount of water that we're having to use to water our plants in our yard and changing up all the plants too so they're native don't require much water, it's really making a massive difference. I remember when I was a little kid, I found out, like, oh, some food isn't organic, like it has like chemicals and pesticides, like why would you do that, you know, when it wasn't like that for so long. Obviously greater yields and things like that, but this is sort of a similar kind of phenomenon, sort of similar kind of theory here. So now I sort of think, after I've gotten into rainwater harvesting, why isn't it just set up across the world as the default design for many residential and city water systems, and then have supplemental water from our more modern systems that require dams, pumping water, treatment facilities, and then you have, you know, channelized storm runoff, and you're overdrawing groundwater potentially, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just a different paradigm. Like, to water your yard, do you really need to use a bunch of energy and technology to move this water a great distance and treat it? And then also just the design of our yards, just a lot of, you know, concrete driveways and drainage, like water systems to have the water flow away from your home, become storm runoff. So anyway, another thing is, you know, you might have wondered why we use treated potable drinking water to flush our toilets, for example. Seems kind of wasteful, haha, there's a pun. In a lot of the developed world, this high quality potable water is used for all end uses in a home, which maybe not the best design. It wastes a lot of money and energy, has unnecessary environmental impacts. So using rainwater for non-potable water uses like toilet flushing and irrigation, it might be something to consider. Communities are working to redefine what water is appropriate for different uses, and new, or in some cases actually old, thinking about free rainwater is helping to update city water systems. It's kind of undoing some of our high-tech, brilliant ideas that we've come up with that maybe aren't that brilliant in the end. So, just a couple of terms here. You might hear of passive or active rainwater harvesting. Passive is what I have set up in my yard. Our design included the option to put a, you know, giant water tank or cistern in one area of our yard next to our home. We haven't done that yet just due to the cost, but there's also a rebate in Tucson for some of that cost. So those systems with the tank, those are called active harvesting. So if you're just digging basins in your yard, that's passive. If you have a tank, that's active. So, yeah, it's cool because Tucson has implemented something. It's called green stormwater infrastructure, or GSI, such as like diverting water from streets into basins and creating native tree-lined cooler streets. So GSI, that's describing practices that use natural systems or engineered systems that mimic or use natural processes to capture, clean, and infiltrate stormwater into the soil. So they shade and cool surfaces and buildings, reduce flooding, create wildlife habitat, provide other services that improve environmental quality and communities' quality of life. So this is something that's happening like at a community, a city, a regional basis out here. And these concepts are spreading around. A lot of other cities are getting on board with this and understanding this. So, next topic, you might wonder, wow, this sounds neat, Chris. How much rain is actually falling on my property in a year? Like, how much rain are you talking about? I have the, you know, nerdy calculation on my website, but imagine you live somewhere with just 10 inches of rain a year, and you have a standard sized, you know, house with about a 1,500 square foot roof on there. That ends up being 9,350 gallons per year, if I did the math right, which is pretty amazing. So think about that. 10 inches of rain, just a moderate home, that's almost 10,000 gallons of water a year. That's a lot. So you could either have that just with a passive system where all that water goes and fills basins during rain events, or you could add a tank or two or more, add some giant tanks, especially if you live somewhere that gets even more rain than that, or you have a larger roof or roofs you're talking about. So yeah, the amount of water, and that's just what's falling directly on your roof. What about what's falling on your entire yard as well? It all adds up, right? I think there was a quote that for the general Tucson area, if we captured all the water that falls on all land on in this entire city, that would be enough water to sustain the city completely. We wouldn't have to pull anything from the Colorado River. So the volume of rain hitting the earth in a city, it's a massive volume of really clean and free water, right? So we might want to think about this some more. Now, you don't always have to go and purchase these big, expensive tanks and cisterns. Actually, often the step one that's suggested is like doing what I did. Get a plan for your yard, dig basins, and divert water from your roof to fill them up. Just do a passive system to start and see how that goes. And yeah, put in native plants and trees and shrubs and just see how it goes. If you do go the tank route, you might want to think about getting one that's relatively large or multiple based on that, the calculation I mentioned. Like, think about your yard and what that looks like. Some people do use a smaller drum, like 50-gallon drums, or even like string them together, and that's great. Any water you're using, any rain, that's cool in your yard, but those will just fill up really quickly. So just think about that. And also a misconception, like I mentioned, rainwater harvesting is not only for people living in the desert. There are a lot of benefits for a lot of different regions, right? So, yeah, like we mentioned, benefits, it takes a lot of energy and resources to treat the city water. And there's a lot of evaporation that happens here. It's called the CAP project, where we pull the water from far, far away in these open aqueducts in blazing sun. That doesn't seem like the smartest design long term, right? So another thing just to mention, it's really a big deal here in the desert, is my yard used to be much hotter. It was just, they just kind of created a flat surface for the whole yard, fill it in with a bunch of rock over the surface, and just totally hot and boring. Now it's a lot cooler. The cooler your yard is, the cooler your neighbor's yard and house is, the less air conditioning everybody has to use, the less urban heat island effect there is, the more you use your air conditioner. I mean, it's got very hot air exhausting out of it because, right next to your house often, next to your neighbor's house. So if everybody is doing that, if it's all just concrete and rock yards and no shade, it's just this multiplication factor that happens with more and more properties and less natural space. So here in the desert, you can go under a native tree in the shade in an area just out in nature. The temperature on the ground and in the air there is so much lower than if you're like standing next to a brick wall with like concrete below it, like in the city, right? So yeah. Another benefit too is if you're in a area where you have a well, somewhere that's maybe more remote or just doesn't have access to a city water system as much, rainwater can be really helpful for that type of setup too, especially if you have some large tanks. So it's cool. And just a note there, like if you do have the tank set up in your yard, you can do all kinds of extra cool things there. You can use the water through time, like in a winter vegetable garden. You can set up an outdoor shower, and then all that water can go to a basin and grow plants instead of just going down a pipe, going out to the sewer. Some people even use more complex setups with tanks and filter the water and direct it indoors for other uses, like putting it to wash your clothes or et cetera, or use for drinking water. So some people just entirely live off of rainwater from tanks on their residential properties and just hardly have to use any of the city water at all, which is kind of an amazing design, right? So just depends on what's available to in your area, your city, what different, you know, laws and regulations are. So check into all that, but just know that there are some pretty cool systems out there that you can research and maybe somewhat copy. Couple other extra little things that are cool. I mentioned gray water harvesting a bit. So using the water from your laundry, that's really common. And like here, we direct it to one of our rainwater basins. So it's synergistic. Like it'll rain, fill up a basin, and then every time we use our clothes washer, it fills up some of the basin, and it just kind of multiplies. So you're able to have maybe some more sensitive plants growing that need more water if you have that kind of a system as well. Another thing I tried, it's your air conditioner system. Usually it has a little drip line with water dripping outdoors often, and you can collect that water and use it in your yard. And you'd be surprised if you're in an area where the air conditioner is on a lot, just how much water comes from the air conditioning system. It can be quite a bit. So that's another little trick. So yeah, if you want to learn more, feel free to ask me any questions. Look at my DIYEcoGuy.com site for this article. Look at different links and information there. Definitely check out harvestingrainwater.com from Brad Lancaster. Really cool. If you're more into this, check out his books. Get some of those. Read those things cover to cover. They're really great. Do a Google search for Tucson and what they're doing here. Kind of learn about that. Look at their residential rebate programs. Look at their storm to shade program or green water green stormwater infrastructure and other things like that. It's just a lot of information out there for you to check out, and have fun with it.
All right. I'd love to hear from you. My email is chris@diyecoguy.com. I'm on social media at @DIYEcoGuy. Do you have any questions, topics you'd like me to cover? What's your perspective? What are you curious about? I'm here to help make sustainability more simple. So I look forward to sharing more with you on the next episode. And until then, thanks for listening to the DIY Eco Guy podcast. Take it easy and get rad.